Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey everyone, it's Caroline from GThanks Just Bought It, reminding you that in between episodes, you can find me on Instagram at GThanks Just Bought It Pod. You can find products that don't make it onto the episodes and recommendations from listeners like you. So before you start this episode, give it a follow and say hi in the comments. And for a full list of every product we featured on GThanks, visit gthanksjustboughtit.com/episodes. See you there. Hello, and welcome to another episode of GThanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss. And as always, or as recently, I am joined by my guest co-host,
Sally Tamarkin.
Hey, Sally. Good morning.
Caroline, good morning.
Hi. I'm so excited to tell you about two things I've bought recently that, like, really solidify me as... It's like one is inside the home and one is outside the home. And I'm excited about both. And I know that, you know, last week we talked about the 12-foot skeleton and Halloween. And the week before we kind of got you ready on your road trip, which you're still on the west side and west side of the states.
West side of the United States of America.
But let's bring it back. Just like old school GThanks. Like, let's just like go right in and like ask me about the things that I bought. So let me set the scene for you and I'm going to let you do a little choose your own adventure moment. Would you like to hear about my outdoor purchase or my indoor purchase first?
Let's go indoor.
Okay. I love the way your head is thinking. Okay, so I am probably the last person to get on this trend, but I recently bought an air fryer.
Well.
Do you have one?
You're the second to last person to get on it because I'm the last because I'm not on it yet.
Finally.
I
finally have beat someone at something somewhere.
This could be my last hour on Earth as the person who doesn't own an air fryer.
It might just be. Hold on. I'm grabbing a cookbook.
A physical cookbook? I've never heard of such a thing. A cookbook you can physically hold with your hands?
Cookbooks are the kind of only book that I'm like, it makes sense to have physically. Like,
yeah,
I like
that
make like notes and stuff. But, you know, in a classic TikTok made me buy it situation, we've all been there. I follow this account, this woman called Brunch with Babs, who, if you don't know her, she is amazing. She is a grandmother, a mother, a retired preschool teacher. And during the pandemic, her daughter, who is sort of like an influencer type, was like, oh, like, let's get mom on here, you know, like mom has all these great recipes, mom has all these great tips, and started sort of like a spinoff of her own account and then called like Brunch with Babs, like, oh, like my mom, like Barbara, is going to do like a little like thing every week, like with a tip about cooking or a recipe or and then it just blew up, like millions of followers and just really like incredible grasp on the medium.
Amazing. Love
it. Of the medium, rather. And so Babs has a book called Celebrate with Babs, Holiday Recipes and Family Traditions, which is like exactly right up my alley. Babs has like lots of great tips. Like if vinegar heads, like went in the clean report when we talked about like how we clean things, like Babs would like love the drill brushes. You know, I really feel quite secure in that guess. I've DM'd her many times to be like, please come on the podcast. Please come on the podcast. And my cousin even had her as a preschool teacher, which I didn't know until recently.
Whoa, cool connection.
And I still cannot get her on the podcast. So Babs is booked and busy.
She's booked and busy. She doesn't do media.
She doesn't do media. And you know what? Why should she? And like Babs, like, may we all be smart enough to not do media in literally any case. But it was Babs' TikTok and the effortless way in which she prepares food and talks about food that made me think, like, I had seen one too many of her air fryer based recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, now this is something I should try because I don't like cooking. And I think that's okay. It just
I
doesn't
also don't
give
like
me
cooking.
Joy. I just, when I want to eat something, I want to eat it. I don't want to spend any time preparing it. And usually by the time I'm done preparing something, I no longer want to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a hard cycle to break. And honestly, at this juncture in my life, I don't really care about breaking it or not. So I was like, okay, an air fryer is, that seems like my level of a thing I can do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I bought the Ninja air fryer. Okay. It is the Ninja AF. I assume that stands for air fryer. Mm-hmm. 101.
No way to
your
know.
Your college course, Ninja AF 101. Ninja as fuck 101.
Sure.
Air fryer that crisps, roasts, reheats, and dehydrates for quick, easy meals. 4-quart capacity and high gloss finish. That's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Bought it for $99.99, which is not $100. And it also has, it's the number one bestseller in air fryers. It's usually $130, but it's marked down to $99 at the time of this recording. And it has just about 40,000 5-star ratings.
Whoa.
So I felt pretty confident about this. Now, I just want to take you back to 2016 when everyone got an Instant Pot.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't super into the Instant Pot.
I never went down that
you
road.
Never went down that either. You really sat this one out.
Well, here's the thing.
Please.
I've always been really confident in my identity as a person who doesn't like to cook, and nothing will change that. And so I think that's why. I think it's just my own being a bit of a curmudgeon that caused me to not hop aboard this train.
So you're not just behind me in the fact that you don't have an air fryer and don't have an Instant Pot. You're actually ahead of me because you know yourself better than to think, well, if I buy an air fryer, you know, something will change within me.
I didn't want to turn this whole episode into a thing about how evolved I am as a person, but since you brought it up. No, I'm just kidding.
Rub it in.
You know what it is? I mean, like, I've bought plenty of things thinking that, like, this is the thing that makes me into a different person. And also, I do think that can definitely work sometimes. It's just that, like, cooking holds so little interest to me. I so experience it as a chore. No part of it brings me joy whatsoever. So I just I'm like, you know what, I do try to fill the void with consumer goods for sure. Yeah. And I try to change my behavior with purchases, but cooking and food prep is just like one of the categories in which I've never really tried to do that.
I do think that there's something like inherently cozy about, like, I like a crock pot mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it's just like throw the thing in the thing, you know, I love
set it and forget it.
Yeah, set it and forget it. But yeah, I don't love, like, Dan loves cooking, right? Like, Dan, like, really gets
so does
joy
Andrea.
From, well, like, great. I love eating, you know, so I can meet you halfway. Like, I'll meet you. I'll take the baton when it's a fork and you're handing me a plate of
totally.
Food that you cooked, and I'll eat it, and I will be emphatically complimentary.
We should rebrand eating as just the second part of the cooking process. You know,
yeah, like the second I love to cook. Lap.
You
yes.
know what I mean? And I love to cook. My contribution to cooking is putting the food in my body.
Right. If why would you cook if someone's not going to eat it? And so some might say we're actually the most important part of the process. Because that's just food waste. You know, think about
I know,
it.
I certainly would say that. We're obviously the ones in our relationship who care about conservation and protecting the planet. That's for sure.
Yeah, I definitely you got that right. You got that right. But the air, I love like a contraption.
Sure.
And I think the Instant Pot, it's just billed to you as the Instant Pot didn't work for me. Mostly because it's just, I think it was marketed in a way that I actually believed the marketing, which was like kind of the way a crock pot is marketed. But like what I really was looking for was a crock pot, right? Because an Instant Pot is just like a faster crock pot. It's a pressure cooker.
Okay. Okay.
But it still can't, you still have to do some work. Mm-hmm. Like I remember like getting my Instant Pot, getting very excited, and then reading the recipe that's like, take out this pan and, you know, sear the meat and then toast your, and I'm like, no. I wanted to put like 10 raw ingredients in this pot and then 45 minutes later come out with like
a full
an
meal.
Incredible meal. And you can do that with like mac and cheese or rice or, you know, that's kind of
any like 1 to 2 ingredient.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Like if I have to take out another pan to sear the meat, like forget it. And it's yeah. Like, okay, but forget it. It's just not for me.
Searing the meat, to me, that's a whole thing that I'm not going to do because it's like, it's a thing. It's work you have to do that doesn't result in the thing being done and ready to eat. It sounds like it's just a first step.
Right. And it's also, but, and then like real people who love to cook will be like, well, it actually helps like secure the oils and the juices and like it actually gives a bigger flavor. And I'm like, no.
I mean, I believe all that. That sounds great.
No,
but
I
it's
believe
just not
it.
For me, you know?
It's just, I don't care. Yeah. I don't have an appreciation for that.
But I'm really, I'm fascinated by the air fryer because I have to admit that I've never understood how it works because you see the photos and I'm looking on Amazon right now. I see the photos of this like beautifully fried food, but like it fries with air. And that to me sounds like some sort of magic thing that like defies science. So can you like, I want to hear about it. I want to hear about what you've made and how it works.
Hashtag women in STEM. I'm hearing
yeah.
that.
That's exactly okay. what I want to. Yeah.
Yeah. So the air fryer, you know, I don't know. I Googled it. But basically it uses convection heat to cook okay. foods so that they are browned and crispy on the outside, but remain moist and tender on the inside. I don't know how it works. I didn't invent it. And I know a lot of people do think I did invent it. In fact, the real John Max invented the air fryer.
I can't believe I'm finding out live on the air that you didn't invent the air fryer. This is a huge reveal. I can't believe you managed a huge reveal on this episode.
And I'll say I'm embarrassed by this, but do not look at my author bio in my books because it does say inventor of the air fryer. Caroline Moss is also a person who writes books.
Okay, so
she
it's not
it
just
all.
Me.
What can't she do? Okay. Yeah, exactly. Everyone's about to find out. So it's a bit of a misnomer. Air fryers don't actually fry food. The machine cooks the food, and I am literally reading from a website. So this is plagiarism in some ways, but I will attribute to this to the spruceeats.com in a blog post entitled "How Does an Air Fryer Work? We Love SEO." Applause to them. So the food goes into a basket. So the machine, you know, an air fryer looks like, I'm assuming you're looking at the picture right now. It's like the basket, you push it in, you push it out. It's like a few buttons, bleep, bloop, blop. The machine cooks the food by blowing hot air all around it. And then the force of the air, it says, produces a convection effect that cooks and browns the exterior. And as long as the temperature of the air reaches more than 320 degrees Fahrenheit, breaded foods like frozen chicken tenders or like, you know, an Ore-Ida French fry will turn brown while the inside cooks but doesn't burn. So it's not. So the thing is, it's like not an air fryer. It's not a fryer, right? Because like a traditional fryer, you oil, fat, butter, like bread, you know, a breaded thing. You don't put like soaked food or breaded food. There's no oil. You don't like pour oil in the thing. You like, you know, you can do a little drizzle to get like that going, but it's not like you're soaking a food in oil. And I think in the beginning too, just because of like health culture, it was like, oh my gosh, like you know, if you watch an infomercial for an air fryer, you'll see be like, oh my God, I can eat all this food and it's not fried. You're kidding. But it's like a completely different process to get food from not cooked to cooked, you know. But I think
right. The
marketing tool that they used was like, instead of greasy French fries, make your own French fries at home using the air fryer. And like, of course, that is going to sell. Anything that promises, you know, you can still eat French fries and
right. Get
really skinny is going to be like a big selling point. And they know that, but that sucks. But like, it's not really that. It's just like a different way to cook your food.
See, I think that the thing that majorly turned me off from even looking into it more was I kept seeing like guilt-free
yes.
food, like, you know, and I can't really
right. Do
justice to how much I hate that part of like diet culture and health culture. So I think that like that turned me off of it. But now mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying. I mean, because you could just say like, boiling water is like it's a water fryer, like, you know what I mean, like they
right.
it's just marketing, and they knew
yes.
how to sell their product, but it isn't that, and it isn't only that.
Yeah, it's not only that, and it's not even like mostly that. I mean, like, sure, but I also don't know that many people at home who were like, oh man, I've been deep frying my whole life away. I have a deep fryer in my house and now I don't have the deep fryer anymore. But it's like, also, I don't think people really realized, and I'm sure like the Real John Max's air fryer team, marketing team rather, you know, a team of 100 strong, as we know, was not really thinking like, okay, but if you buy chicken tenders or like a frozen French fry and you just bake them in the oven, like, that's also technically like what a marketer
fryer.
Would call. Yeah. Like, it's just like baking
yeah.
something. An air fryer is different than an oven in ways that I don't know, but please Google it. I'm sure the Spruce Eats has something on that. But I think the air fryer is like super, it just kind of cuts. It's approachable, right? It's an approachable kitchen item. And I am kind of anti like one sort of use tools that take up space but only really do one thing. But you can really put like anything in an air fryer. And there are some benefits to it that have nothing to do. There are a lot of benefits to it that for me have nothing to do with calories or like guilt-free, even though that is the strongest marketing tool. And one of them is that it is hot in Los Angeles and it stays hot. Today is October 19th and it is going to be 97 degrees.
Boo.
Yeah,
oh, Caroline
is right.
There's drilling going on outside the RV that I'm in.
That's okay. Just mute yourself.
I'm going to mute. But
look,
and
you guys,
I've been
you understand. Sally's on the road. Sally's on the road and these are the sounds of the United States, okay?
What you're hearing are the sounds. Yeah, so I'm really sorry about that. I'll stay muted, but sometimes when I unmute to talk, you're going to hear
okay.
it.
That's okay. I don't
I'm
care.
So sorry. Okay.
You know what? Apologize to the listeners because, you know, they don't deserve this, Sally. So I think that it's hot. It stays hot for some reason. And turning on your oven, or at least turning on my oven in my house, the way that my kitchen is situated in my house, it's very central. It will, the oven heats the whole house when it's on. And, you know, if you just want to like roast up some veggies or like tater tots or chicken finger, like, and to have to preheat the oven. And then the oven being on can raise the temperature in your house depending, like several, like not a insignificant number of degrees, right? So an air fryer is like just a countertop oven in a lot of ways, you know? And I think in the summer, or because I didn't buy it over the summer, but considering in LA it's still summery,
it's always summer, yeah.
I'm realizing that it is like a very efficient way to not have to basically, I don't have to avoid like cooking something just because of the temperature outside. And it's like, that's a real bonus to me. I, especially if like Dan's at the office and I'm like, oh, I just want like some roasted broccoli for lunch with my sandwich, or if I want like a salad with like, I don't know, toasted or whatever, I will never turn on the oven for that. That's like so much work for one person, like for one person, one serving of food for one meal. That's like multiple pans and like heat and like an oven mitt. And I'm just like not doing that. And the air fryer has really made that easy. And the best part about the air fryer so far for me is that it came with, I can't remember if it came with it or I bought it, but it might have been like included as like part of a deal on the day that I bought it. It comes with this magnet that you put on your fridge that's literally like what food you're making, the setting you put it on, the degree that you set it to, and the cook time. So it's like, oh, you're making tater tots? Like, just look at the magnet, and the magnet's like frozen tater tots, like 400 degrees, 12 minutes. Like, you, and you don't have to like do the whole thing that's like, okay, do the whole thing that's just Googling it. But you know what I mean? You know every time. And I'm obsessed with that.
No, I mean, like, I'm already convinced I need an air fryer, because you've said so many things that are about convenience and like putting in less effort to get stuff done. And I also saw that you can just like take it apart and put it in the dishwasher, which is a huge, if something can be washed in the dishwasher, I will buy it. It truly, honestly doesn't matter what it is. So I'm, and what you said, like, it doesn't, in Philly, it obviously doesn't stay hot the way it does in LA, but our summers do get so hot and humid that it's like, even if it doesn't heat up our whole house, the concept of like ambient heat in any form just disgusts me. You know what I mean? But it is nice to eat something other than like turkey sandwiches and like raw vegetables when the weather's hot. And I feel like this would encourage me to do that.
It is extremely, extremely tempting in that way. And if you have not just the counter space, you know, for the air fryer, it's also just you plug it in and then you can like put it in a cabinet. We put ours under like our booze block table thing. Like, it doesn't sit out on the counter forever. But it also, you don't need like a million pans. I think it's like a really perfect tool if you live with yourself, or with just like one other person. And I think it's also great for like parents, because like the last thing you want to be doing at the end of the day is like cooking food for your kids. But like studies say like those kids do need food. So, it is, I think, a good beneficial thing. Like, anything to make life easier and to keep kids from whining is like an A plus in my book. But I really kind of thought that I would feel the way about the air fryer that I would that I felt about the Instant Pot, which was, I was like, the marketing got me and I'm dumb. And like, that was not, I should have known better. I should have known better when I saw that marketing. I always fall for an infomercial. But the air fryer, I think I went in with eyes a little bit more open. Clearly, like, I didn't jump on the bandwagon of the air fryer, right? It's been a while since the air fryer, since everyone bought an air fryer. But I feel really good about it. I use it, I would say, like, if not every day, like, at least 4 or 5 times a week.
That's incredible. That's a lot. I mean, I feel like even if you stopped using it forever, like next month, you've already gotten your money's worth.
Amortized the cost. Yeah,
you have. So that's amazing. The other thing that you said that was really compelling is just like, you want to make like a serving of like roasted vegetables just for yourself to have with your lunch. Cause you know, I'm often like, I should probably eat more vegetables. That seems like an important part of health. There's now a dog. There's all the sounds of America.
It's totally fine. The sounds of America. Yeah. I mean, like, sometimes you just, I don't know, like, it's very hard. If you don't like cooking and you don't know how to cook, like, it's never about doing, I don't know if this is the same for you, but it's definitely the way for me. Like, I'm fine with, like, maybe I'll have chips, maybe I'll have veggies. Usually it's just whatever, like, the convenience of it is that the thing that, like, makes it hard for me.
Exactly. The number of times I've like gone without eating because it's just going to be like too much work to like figure it out and then actually make the food. And I do think, I mean, this could be me talking myself into something that it turns out I won't use, but this time it just might work for us. I think like this might be the thing that gets me to make stuff when I otherwise would be too, would consider it too much of a hassle to deal with.
I think you'd like it. And I bought, you know, I bought the bigger one. But I don't think you would need to buy the bigger one. There's smaller ones, but the reason why I bought this one is because of its ratings and because of how much people love it. And I thought, like, you know, we've been in this a place of air fryer for so long that, like, people actually have legitimate opinions and we actually know which one is the best one now. So totally. I felt very confident buying this one. But I think there's like a, I think I bought the 4-quart version and it looks like Ninja has a 2-quart version. Look, this is the time of year. If you're going to buy like a kitchen appliance, like you're going to find it for like 50% off at some point.
Oh, that's true.
9 weeks. But if you think that at least once a week you would throw a bag of Trader Joe's broccoli and like just spray it with some Pam or like drizzle it with olive oil and then like eat it over rice, I think you should get an air fryer. It really is. It's made me a lot more competent in the kitchen, because Dan can't cook every single meal for me. I don't know why. Like he cites having a job, but
it's
like,
a marriage problem.
What ends up happening with me is I get so hungry that I don't have even like I will just order food, you know, and I can't. That's just financially not a good idea.
Or that's like me, or I just eat handfuls of dry cereal and I'm like, eh, right. I'm done. It's fine.
Right. You know, I've eaten like half a box of Triscuits and like. Right. Salsa.
This
cobbled together a meal.
Right. Which, by the way, is an amazing combination. But yeah, like this is a dynamic in our household as well, because Andrea is a really good cook. Andrea really likes to cook, but she also claims to not be able to cook every meal for me, also similarly citing work and career. And not only do I have to feed myself, but I would like to occasionally prepare food for her. And wow. Yeah. And so I feel like this is the kind of thing that would enable me to do that somewhat more competently.
Okay. Well, then I want you, you know, the air fryer report, please let me know. Also, we are seeing each other next week. I do have outlets on my deck where we'll be hanging out, doing a little outdoor hang. And I'd be happy to do my own version of an air fryer infomercial for you.
That would be amazing. I would definitely buy it right then and there.
Okay, you'll buy mine off of me.
I'll buy it off of you.
You will take
that's
it
right.
Home. We have a special guest joining us for the last couple minutes of this episode, so I want to get into my outdoor rec because I'm actually super super excited about it. It has real dad vibes, and I feel like you'll appreciate that. Because Sally, I don't know if I ever told you this, but you. Have real dad vibes too. So
listen, that's my nickname at BuzzFeed. A couple of my coworkers just called me dad. So
that's nice.
So I feel that it is a thing that emanates from me, and I can't wait to hear more about this one.
So, you know that gas leaf blowers are a problem for the environment. This is a fact that I am repeating from Dan. I don't think I ever really thought about it before, but I. You know, I'm not a nature kid, but I can appreciate and also respect the fact that, hey, yeah, there are some things that we could just not engage in because they are bad. And gas leaf blowers seem to be one of them. So our house, which we rent, a twice a month lawn maintenance guy is my landlord pays to come and take care of his property, which is ours for as long as our lease is current. And that means he uses a gas leaf blower and, you know, rakes up leaves and the fallen fruit that, you know, our fig trees, which every morning in the summer we find 20 figs that have exactly one squirrel bite taken out of it. And then they remember, oh, right, I don't like figs. And then 2 seconds later, they go on to the next fig. We never get to enjoy our figs. So the lawn guy is in charge of all that. But since we bought all of this deck furniture over the summer and we finally kind of gave ourselves this like outdoor indoor living situation that I have been craving since we moved here, what I've realized is that the deck is really situated under these two trees that I cannot seem to understand their shedding schedule, but like for a full 2 months and not consecutive months, they you wake up and there are leaves and twigs and like sharp little things everywhere. And it makes it very difficult to enjoy the space. And at first I got a push broom just to try to like sweep off what I could, but that it was too much for the push broom. And so I realized, you know, it's 2022. Amazon exists. There's definitely a leaf blower that just blows air and doesn't. I'm just blowing leaves off of my deck. And so I found what is called the Snap Fresh 2-in-1 cordless leaf blower. It's an electric leaf blower. It has a battery. And it just stays outside. And every morning, not every morning, but like couple mornings a week when I have to, and I do wait until like 11 a.m. because I feel like that's a safe time to start like a lawn appliance, I blow all the leaves off my deck, and then I can actually enjoy my space. And
you know what?
Yeah.
You had me at Snap Fresh.
You are amazing. A Snap Fresh head. Yeah.
I am.
It is such a hashtag dad purchase, but huge game changer when you're like, wow, like this really annoying thing is keeping me from enjoying something I love and that I also spent like a good amount of time and money on. Like to look outside and be like, I cannot enjoy my outdoor couch because of the many leaves. Mm-hmm. Just feels like a real Little Women problem to have.
Totally.
And the Snap Fresh has solved it. It was $120. It's now $99. And I like to think that drilling is actually someone just using a Snap Fresh on your side of the microphone.
So I just have been told by my friend who's our host that it's actually a jackhammer. So it's even louder. And I bet you
should tell him about my 11 a.m. rule because it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't know.
It's 8:04 and he's out here building a deck.
Yeah, I don't know that you. I don't know that you should be jack. I mean, I don't know that jackhammering at 8 a.m. is going to make you a lot of friends, but like
during podcasting hours, no less.
Yeah, during podcasting hours, how dare you? So I have been really just delighted by this purchase. It's $99.99 right now, but I definitely bought it for like $59 during the July. No, it was like another Prime sale. You know, when is there not a Prime sale? But it has changed. It has really made me feel very much in charge of my destiny. Like that is a purchase that I'm like, you know, sometimes you buy things and you're like, huh, this didn't, the Instant Pot for one, right? It's like, it didn't really change the trajectory of how much enjoyment I'm getting out of my day and the world around me. And I will say that the Snap Fresh leaf blower has changed my life.
Game changer. I can think of a use for it for myself that I think would be life changing.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Thank you. So in the summertime, I like to make cold brew and I take my little coffee beans, I take my little grinder. And the first time I did it, so you make like a lot at once. Well, when I do it like in a batch, I make like 40 ounces and it requires like a lot of grinding. I don't know if you know this about grinding coffee beans, but like, you get coffee grounds literally everywhere. And the first time I did it, the entire kitchen was like covered in coffee beans. There was like no way, or coffee grounds. And so what I started doing was taking everything out onto the deck so that I could do everything outside without, because it's like so hard to clean. I know, I feel like this sounds like the minorest non-problem of any problem anyone's ever had.
They are so fine that they get stuck in your surface. Like even sometimes wiping down the counter is like, they're still there. They're actually just deeper in your counter holes.
100%. But
I've noticed that.
What I could do is, and then so I take it out to the deck and it's still really messy and I can sweep and it kind of gets the job done, but not very efficiently. So what I could do is I could take everything out to the deck, get my grounds everywhere, and then just Snap Fresh them away once I'm done.
Wow. That's like very involved. Do you want to be that involved with your coffee? Like, have you tried other ways? Have you exhausted all coffee grinding, cleaning options?
Like, have I tried just buying cold brew? No.
Because you like what you like and you have to adjust to that. But I'm looking at a tabletop vacuum cleaner or something like, but I know the pain of the grinder, but sometimes those things don't have a lot of power. Like you need.
That's the thing. But also, I mean, I already take it out to the deck. I already take it totally outside. I have to admit that I didn't know that there was such a thing as a tabletop vacuum cleaner.
But again, they don't have a lot of power. So I don't know that it's actually going to help with the annoying mess that is coffee grounds. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know. It makes sense to me that you are now trying to think outside the box and even outside the home.
I'm thinking outside the home. And I think that the Snap Fresh could solve my cleaning up outside after. I guess you could also make the argument I don't really have to clean up outside because coffee grounds outside aren't really like hurting anyone. But, you know, you like to leave a nice little area, clean up your mess. And I just feel like I could Snap Fresh them away.
I think if you can find a good deal on it and you have a use and it makes sense for you, like it's a joy to use, A. B, you'll notice that outdoor spaces and get like very dusty very quickly, and the Snap Fresh really kind of just blows that out of the way. But there's something very calming to me about just like a clean area, and it has negated my need to sweep and to. Yeah, I think you should try it again. You'll be able to use the Snap Fresh at my house.
Oh, I can sample all of these. It's great to know that if I just come to Los Angeles, I can try all these products before I buy them.
The showroom is actually just my house. Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, we also do get leaves on the deck, and I'm now realizing that Andrea does spend a fair amount of time like sweeping them away. And we do have to, we have leaves also that we have to keep out of the gutter. I'm now convinced I cannot live another day without an air fryer or a Snap Fresh.
First of all, that's my job, you know, to just get you to spend money. But I actually think you would benefit from both.
Huge, huge day for products that push air around.
Yeah.
I think we have
huge
to say.
Day for air heads. Okay. So I'm very much looking forward to you trying my Snap Fresh and trying my air fryer. IRL next week, upon your visit. And our first, I think, real meeting IRL. We might have overlapped at BuzzFeed, but we never met.
We never met. This is it. It's going to be the first time. And I would appreciate it if you would not prepare any food and leave your outdoor space totally covered in debris so that I can see both of these products in.
It's going to be like a Top Chef challenge where I'm like, first you have to blow the leaves off this bag of broccoli. Then you have to cook the broccoli in the air fryer. Then you're going to feed me and Dan. Then
and
we're going to rate you. And if
more
we like it, we'll let you stay at our house.
Listen, I'm all for this. I think more friend hangs should have a reality show competition challenges.
I think so too. And I think like the judging should be staunch.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
So we have a guest today we're following up on the Dresser Report. For those of you who are new or haven't listened to this episode yet, a couple of weeks ago, I went to thrift store shopping with a new friend. Her name is Hannah. And we stumbled upon this amazing dresser. It's from the 70s. It's from a Singer furniture line of furniture that looks like dollhouses, but is life-size furniture. Ostensibly, it was for a child's room. But I saw this dresser as a standalone at our local Out of the Closet. And I thought, I love this so much. But go back, listen to the episode. Long story short, I balked. I didn't buy it. I thought I didn't have room for it. I was like, this is, I have to stop making impulsive purchases like dressers that I, do I like it or do I want it? Do I need it or do I just want it? Hannah ended up buying it fully with my support. But the episode was really focused around the fact that I couldn't stop thinking about this dresser and sort of where my head was when I was deciding I didn't, I couldn't pull the trigger on buying it. Hannah is here. Hannah is here. She is joining us from a few streets over in Los Angeles from me. Hannah is the owner of this dresser. I told Sally, and I maintain my sort of conclusive feeling about this situation, which is that at least I know where this dresser is. And if Hannah ever gets over this dresser, I hope that she price gouges me and charges me more to buy it from her than we paid at the store. And I know what she paid because, again, we were there together. All right. I'm bringing Hannah into our room. Hello, Hannah. Hannah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi. Yay, Hannah. Welcome. I'm not on camera. This is Sally. And
hi, Hannah.
You know Sally as the voice who disparaged you for not telling me, no, Caroline, you want this dresser. You have to take it. And I just want, I defended you, Hannah. I was like, I was very much like, I'm not taking the dresser. Like, it's fine. And Sally was like, I think if Hannah really cared about you, Hannah would have
relentlessly disparaged you. Listen, I grew up in a household and in a culture where you find the person to blame. You make it their fault. You lean into it. And that's how you support your friend. And that's, you know, I'm trying to build a friendship with Caroline by making you into the villain.
By
and
throwing
unfortunately,
you
this time
under
it happened
dresser.
On a microphone.
That's an extreme approach there.
Yeah.
I would say my tactic would be different. I'm not sure what it would be, but as an only child with no siblings, I don't know how to place blame or also accept blame.
No, I want to be clear. I was joking. You didn't do anything wrong. I was
wow, Sally backs down so fast from her opinion.
Also, the entire time that we were recording, I was like texting Caroline and being like, I'm so sorry. Is this okay? Is Hannah gonna listen? Is Hannah gonna be upset? I was texting her afterward. I was like, was I terrible? Was it too much?
And yeah, they were very concerned about your how you would feel about the episode. And I was like, no, we said it. And yep. We're not going to be censored by, we're not going to be censored by the
by
media,
the
by the woke mob. So Hannah, you have this dresser now. How is it doing? How is she? I miss her, but I, you haven't given me any pictures. Has she grown? Is she doing well? Tell me, how is it? How's it going?
She's doing well. She's currently in her nesting stage. So
okay. She's
just like really getting used to her new home. You know, she doesn't come out from like behind the toilet very often.
She's never had
a new pet. No, she's doing well. I cleaned her off. She was quite dirty. I am really likening this to like bringing an animal in off the street.
Yeah. Sure.
She was quite dirty. She also has like a, definitely did live in a child's bedroom at one point because there is a very large, I'm just going to call it a pile of goop in the secretary desk part. Mm. I don't know if you spotted that. It's like rubber cement spilled.
Wow.
So I can't decide if that's just going to live there with us.
Well,
it was not easy to pull apart.
Did you try Goo Gone?
I did not.
Goo-Gone.
I love Goo Gone. I grew up with Goo Gone. Goo Gone solves, like, you know how in like my big fat Greek wedding, Windex solves everything.
Yes.
In my house, Goo Gone solves everything. So
perfect. So Goo Gone was like
order
a mother
like a,
to you.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
I think you
solved
should also loves. if you keep the goo on it, then for me at least that significantly lowers the value, and I'll feel like I'll get a good deal when I eventually buy this dresser off of you. Do you love it? Are you happy that you got it?
I do love it. I actually am thinking it's going to go behind me here.
Like in your bedroom?
My office.
Oh, your office. Okay.
But it's like also a little guest room. I think that's where it will be. Quite honestly, it is very heavy because it's like made of good material because it's old. I do need to like empty it out, but it's still in my front hallway. I have learned since sending you pictures that it is not the best place for it. So it, I do still need something for my front hallway, which is very long and dark.
Okay.
We'll see what goes there.
I mean, I did send you some wallpaper ideas. I'm happy to be working on that with you.
I know. I brought that up to the husband, and he was like, absolutely not. And I was like, okay, well, we'll just see. Eddie, what happens when you're at work one day?
Eddie has bad taste because he didn't like the dresser that much either,
which was
what I felt like was my opening a couple of weeks ago. And I was like, oh, thank God her husband doesn't even like it. Like you can't bring in a piece of furniture, like a big piece of like sort of real loud furniture, like a house dresser, and not have both people in the house like it, but somehow that dresser's still at your house. So I'm losing hope for me.
Well, then it's funny because later on I was like as in later on, I mean like a few days later, a week later, I was like, I don't know, Eddie, like Caroline really wants this. And I know she has regret about not buying it.
Oh, good. It worked. The episode worked.
And I was like, what, like, I know you don't like it. Like, what should we do? And he was like, you mean our house within a house?
Yeah. Now Eddie is my actual enemy.
He's become attached.
Yeah.
Our house within a house? I was like, yeah. Oh, shit. Okay.
I'm never going to get that dresser.
I did introduce, the day of purchase, to Caroline, Sally, the option of co-parenting.
Now that's interesting. How would that work?
I did bring that up. It's still an option, mm-hmm. but there is a logistics issue.
There is. And it's heavy. And also there's like 25 steps to my house. And it just, though, you know, I don't want to brag. I have been doing some weight training. So.
Oh, you absolutely should brag. Brag away.
Okay. I'm bragging. I've been doing some weight training. So I don't think, you know, now with my, let's see, 4 weeks of weight training under my belt, I probably could come and pick up your dresser, bring it back to my 100%. House, and then bring it. Okay. I think that is a good use of time resources. Honestly, if you saw that dresser in person, Sally, you would agree it is a good use of time and resources.
It's quite tall, actually.
Yes, it's big.
It is. I remember being like, Caroline, can we put it in the back of your car right now?
And I said,
like,
no.
Absolutely not.
There's no way. A, there was so much shit in my car. B, it was like a big boy. You know? I also have like space dysmorphia where like I have no idea what would fit where when. And so my answer is always no, because like, I don't want to find out otherwise. Dan is the opposite. Dan will take his little Fiat and be like, yeah, I'm going to just go get this grand piano off of Craigslist. If I put the seat down, I think it will fit in my car. Yeah. I'm like, all right.
It's like, I have one bungee cord. It can go on the roof.
Yeah, right. We'll put it on the roof and we'll just drag it. The piano's on wheels. We'll just roll it down the freeway.
Yeah, just roll it.
So Hannah, I know that you are now using the dresser, and we're going to give this little, like the last couple minutes of the show, a little bonus product recommendation, because Hannah has a product that she is now storing in the dresser, which I think that's, you know, I love a functional space, a functional furniture. Tell me about what this product is, how you feel about it. We have a few more minutes of the show. Give us your best pitch.
Okay. If you don't know me, this is incredibly sarcastic. I am not storing my stockpile of this product.
Oh, you were lying, Jimmy. Okay. I think you should is my opinion.
It would be I'd have to buy a lot of it. And I wouldn't go through it as fast as I could, but
okay.
I do. So I have listened to Caroline for a long time, started with a Twitter thread, have been following I guess, years now. So every once in a while, I'm like, what would my product be? And it is not a new thing. Everyone has had it at one point in their life. They most likely have it now in their bathroom somewhere, especially if they have children. I do not. Okay. But I still have a lot of it. And it is baby powder, which solves so many of life's problems.
Wow. In a pinch. The goo gone of 2022 is baby powder.
Body care. Okay. The goo gone of body care.
I know about, you know, a diaper rash. I know about just like sweat, you know, putting baby powder on a place where you sweat a lot.
Yeah.
What other uses are we using baby powder for?
So I guess like have to say like don't put it in your underwear, lawsuits, whatever.
I love that. Safe. Okay.
Don't do that. However, I keep a travel thing of baby powder in my like travel bag or in a larger purse if I have room for it all the time. Don't have dry shampoo? Great for dry shampoo. Forget deodorant? Works in a pinch. Mm. If it's hot, put it in your bra. On my wedding day, I was really sweaty and I asked the coordinator, I was like, do you have baby powder? And I just had her like dump it down my back. It really worked.
Wow. But
there are two things that baby powder works for that you would not think of.
Okay.
One is it can be used to untangle like a fine chain jewelry.
Wait,
like,
what?
Instantly.
Wait
instantly.
A second.
Wait a minute. What?
Yep.
What do you do?
Well, you can't. What do you say more? I mean,
yes,
what?
Please say more.
You have to just like take, if you have like a fine necklace, I usually am wearing one. I don't have one on, but put it on a plate and put baby powder in and literally just like rub it around and it like, it's poof. It is the goo gone of this scenario.
They should teach this in school. The fact that I am 43 American years old and I don't know that you can untangle necklaces with
How
baby
often
powder.
Have you been like literally a just lot. Like trying to make, or you get like an earring to try to like put through the hole of the chain.
Yes.
Get it untangled. Because if you're like me and I like, I don't remember when you used to have to take your jewelry off to go through the airport. So I'd take my jewelry off and then like shove it in a pocket.
And then, yeah, exactly. And then the whole entire rest of your trip, you're like, I can't wear this.
Do you know how many times I've said they should invent something so that you can take off your effing necklace and it doesn't get tangled? And little did I know they have. And this it's hiding in plain sight this whole time.
Yep.
But like, what is the science behind that? That makes no sense to me.
It's magical science. It's magical science, what I like to call. I do have a second use that I hope.
I mean, you wouldn't even need one after
that. As much as this one.
Okay.
So Caroline and I have talked about this. I'm not a beach person. I like beach vacations, but I'm more so want a pool. Like to have resources. I also just like don't love sand very much. And I never understand people who go to the beach and just like are covered in sand the entire time they're there. And that's like, they ignore it. Not for me.
Yeah.
So did you know that baby powder releases all sand from your body?
No, I didn't. And I am a person who's not really a beach person, but I'm married to a hardcore beach person. And one of the reasons that I don't like the beach that much is because of I just feel like there's a lot of discomfort happening, and one of the major discomforts is the sand.
Yeah, and the sand and the salt water and the sunscreen, like if you have any sort of sensory issue, and I do, and that is like a big sensory trigger for me, and also just like you're stuck and then you have to sit in your like hot car and drive home. And you're like, wait, but I don't understand. How?
Again,
so what do you do? So say you have sand on your feet. Okay, wait, I need to interject here. I do think that there is a big mistake that people make, which is when they have sand on their feet, what do they do when they're going out to their car? They go to the running shower to wash the sand off. But wet sand is much harder to remove. It just clumps. Like, you're not washing sand off. You're actually just getting wet sand on your body. Like, dry brushing dry sand off with the towel, kind of like sort of swiping a towel at like your feet that have sand on it. That's a lot of, that's a way easier way to remove sand than by running your feet underwater.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't understand where baby powder comes in.
So my family has a home on Cape Cod, which we acquired like later in my life. I was out of college when I got it. And so I learned this fact late, but we'll carry it with me. We were at the beach and I saw this woman I always buy the like travel size things of baby powder. So like I said, so I can put them anywhere, but she had like a Costco size thing of baby powder and sure. was just dousing her child, like a toddler
your
in
false
it.
Prophet.
Just like, wow, this baby powder. And I don't know if I asked her or I asked someone I was with, I said, what is this lady doing? And they said, it gets the sand off. And it does. And so like, I think, if I just think a little more logically, you know, like we use baby powder to absorb wet things, put it in our hair to absorb the grease, stops a diaper rash. I grew up, my mom would like put it in her shoes before church. She wasn't wearing socks, like before the era of no-show socks.
Wow.
And so, and it creates a little barrier. Like obviously you use it when you're leaving the beach. You don't put it, like sand will still find you when you're at the beach.
But, sure, yeah.
It really, really does work when you get it on your legs and it just comes right off. And then of course you have a little bit of a baby powder film, but it is magical.
Baby powder does smell really pleasant to me. It yeah. smells really like, to me, I associate it with like fresh, clean, not too fragrant, but like enough that you're like, ooh, like when you see a product and the scent is like fresh linens or something, quote unquote, that's kind of like what it reminds me of. But I never thought I had like a use for baby powder. Now it turns out I have several uses for baby powder.
Yeah. Hannah, you really came in here and like just like stunned two people who spend a lot of their time talking about this kind of stuff.
I'm proud of myself. You, Caroline, I want you to brag about your weight training and I'm going to brag about this moment for the next
I will. I truly like this is really, I'm going to, I part of me wants to go tangle a necklace and then, you know what I mean?
You like have one somewhere.
I have a necklace that like, if for some reason I take the tangle too far and I can never get it out, then I won't be like hard. I'm not going to do it with like my most favorite jewelry, but maybe I should, because maybe the stakes would be really high. But the baby powder for sand, the thing is, I'm going to have to take your word for it, Hannah, because I'm never going to want to go to the beach to try this out. Like, I just don't, I'm right. not going to want to go near the sand, but I'm very tempted. I would love to see, like, it's just, I think it's going to send me down a rabbit hole on TikTok or YouTube where I'm like, I'm going to find someone who's like doing this how to. This has been very, I will let you keep the dresser now because you've imparted such wisdom and knowledge. And Sally, do you feel a little bit better that Hannah is the one that has the dresser now that she's taught you so much in her time with us?
I wouldn't want that dresser to be in anyone's home but Hannah's. I'm sorry, Caroline.
Okay, well, that's a little like.
No, wait, just really quick. One question. Do you have a preferred like brand or is it just like you just do Johnson & Johnson?
I just buy Johnson & Johnson because I usually am going to refill it when I'm going on a trip somewhere. And that's just, they have the small version, but like with my mom's house at the beach, like it's whatever's from the dollar store.
Amazing. Oh my God. It's the best product recommendation is like, also like it works really good. It does these cool things and you don't have to get the like expensive one that's like branded for millennials in like a cool package. Like you can just go to the dollar store and it's going to do the trick.
Yeah. I hope other people write in with more baby powder recommendations.
I would love to find just like 100 uses for baby powder.
Yeah.
Woo. Wow. I feel ready to take on the day. I know so much. I know so, so much. Hannah, thank you so much for joining us today for the dresser report. I'm happy to hear it's doing well. I'm happy to hear your house within a house is finding its home in your house. I can't wait to come over and see it soon. Yeah. Sally, I can't wait for you to come over and try the Snap Fresh and the air fryer next week when I see you. And we'll give an update as to whether you make those purchases. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, Facebook, Instagram, you'll hear all of that on the bumper off the show. And we'll see you next week for another episode. Take care. You just listened to another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It, edited and mixed by Veronica Gruba and produced and hosted by me, Caroline Moss. In between episodes, you can always head to the G-Thanks Instagram at G-Thanks Just Bought It Pod and the G-Thanks Facebook group to get and give life-changing recommendations of your own. Subscribe to our weekly sale and discount emails at gthanks.substack.com. It's free. And you can reach me at Caroline at gthanksjustboughtit.com or leave me a message at 424-245-0736 with a product recommendation, and you may be featured on an upcoming episode. G-Thanks is powered by subscribers like you. To keep all of our G-Thanks content free and accessible to all, consider making a monthly donation of $2 to keep us going at patreon.com/gthanksandfriends.